Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today we journey to Provincetown, Massachusetts, and our guest is Elizabeth Gabriel Brook. Tell you a little bit about Elizabeth. Well, first, I'd like to tell you a story that what happened in Provincetown a few years ago, many years ago, I should say. So we originally, my husband and I, went to Provincetown and had a room at a B&B at the time. And the room wasn't what we expected it to be. And so, make a long story short, we left that establishment looking for another place to stay. And so we came upon Gabriel's, which I've heard of since the 80s, and met both of the Elizabeths, Elizabeth Gabriel Brook, and both Elizabeth and Brooke there. They were the most hospitable people. We loved staying there, and we'll tell you a little bit more about Gabriel's a little bit later. And we'll put all that information in the show notes as well. But back to Elizabeth. So during graduate school in 1974, she went to Provincetown on a whim for New Year's. It turned into a wild and crazy weekend that included a Grace Jones concert. Provincetown spoke to her then as it continues to do every day. She was determined to return for the summer, which she did. Since that time, she's never left except to travel. Over the next several decades, she wore many entrepreneurial hats with business startups, including kite store owner, printmaker, website and design firm owner, restaurateur, photo studio owner, press photographer, advertising marketing director, innkeeper, educator, nonprofit founder, therapy dog trainer, and boat captain. Wow. My goodness. You've sure done a lot, Elizabeth. Her core interests are for the welfare of animals and children, environmental preservation, and fine art and wildlife photography. She lives at Gabriel's, a Provincetown hotel that she owns since 1979. They have luxury accommodations consisting of four buildings and are right in the center of town next to the park. Her wife, also Elizabeth, runs the business now, so she's free and able to concentrate full time on her photography. Welcome, Elizabeth, to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. And yeah, tell us your story, why you moved from where you moved from and how you wound up in Provincetown.
Well, first of all, Mark, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your podcast. It's really excellent. And I've listened to several episodes, and it's a wonderful thing to be offering to our community. So as you had said before, you know, I did come down here for a weekend. I was in graduate school and with every intention of being a teacher. And I fell in love with Provincetown. This is a remarkable place. We're surrounded by water on three sides. We have a beautiful harbor. We have Cape Cod Bay, and we also have the Atlantic Ocean. And we're considered, in our Atlantic part, which is Race Point, is considered one of the 10 best ocean beaches in the world. So it's really quite extraordinary here. So I was here after school, and I would say the environment and the culture here is what really pulled me in. I had grown up on Eastern Long Island, which is another, you know, seashore area. I was way out on the, you know, eastern part, 90 miles east of New York City. So it was a small town when I was growing up. But this environment was made more sense to me and for who I am.
Provincetown, for those who have never been there, it's just, you have to be there because it's an incredible experience. It's like a magical place. It's just something that, I don't know, I just fell in love with it as, you know, as soon as I arrived. So tell us, where in Massachusetts is Provincetown located, Elizabeth?
We are in the southern eastern part of Massachusetts on the tip of Cape Cod, which is a peninsula off of this, you know, the southern southeast part of Massachusetts. We're a 2.5 hour drive from Boston, and we're an hour on a ferry that can come over here. So if you look on a map, it's sort of a finger that goes off to the right and kind of curls around like a scorpion's tail.
Okay. So it's at the very tip of Cape Cod. They always say they put the gaze at the end of everything. I don't know. It's
I think the gay people and the artists always find the beautiful spots, and then everyone else decides to follow in afterwards.
This is quite true. Quite true. So, all right. Tell us a little bit about the climate. The summer is very hot. Is it temperate? The winters, I know the winters could get a little cold and snowy. So tell us a little bit about that.
We used to have snow. With climate change, that has altered. I would say our summers are extremely wonderful climate. 70 to 80 degrees in the summer. We don't have a rainy season. It does rain a bit in the springtime, but that's great for the plants because everything turns quite green and beautiful. In our winters, last winter, we had no snow whatsoever because we have the Gulf Stream coming through here. So wow. I would say we have a pretty temperate climate. Yes, did I wear a jacket in the winter? Absolutely. Was I too cold ever? No, you just dress for it.
Wow.
So a good climate.
Yeah, that sounds really good. The snow, the no snow part sounds even better.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy snow. But the thing one thing to say about the summer months, Boston will be 90 degrees. It'll be, you know, very hot. We don't get that kind of heat because we have the Gulf Stream coming through. So there's always a beautiful sea breeze.
Yeah.
If you get too hot, you just jump in the water.
Yeah. Now I want to come make a visit to P-Town again.
Well, so, your bedroom awaits.
Thank you. So there are no, you don't need a quick getaway for the cooler weather, really, if it's not that freezing. So do people normally stay or do they leave Provincetown in the winter?
We have a mercurial population here. We swell up to, 20,000 people living here during the summer. In the wintertime, our census population is about 3,500. And of the 3,500, I would say a good third of us do go to other places during the winter months. Mexico is popular. More southern Florida is also very popular. So there is what they call snowbirds, migrating back and forth. But I would say we have a stable population in the wintertime of at least 2,000 people. And this is, I've surmised that.
Right. Okay. All right. That sounds good. Snowbirding, Provincetown in good weather and Mexico in not so good weather. I'll take it. So is living in a LGBTQ+ community important to you? And if so, did you choose, I guess, all of Provincetown? Provincetown is so different because everywhere in Provincetown is basically gay friendly. So tell us a little bit about that type of community.
Well, I chose to live here for many reasons. And I would say the main thing is that I could be myself. And that being myself could be as an artist, as a gay person, as someone who likes to be in the woods, whatever, or dye my hair purple, which I never did. But Provincetown is one of the most accepting places in the country. And I think that is one of the main reasons. Also, people here are very welcoming of all different types of people in terms of color, economic status, very different than, let's say, where I grew up in the Hamptons, where, how much money do you have and how many houses do you own? Here, you could be talking to a fisherman or you could be talking to a very successful, someone that has made their fortune on Wall Street, and everybody is sort of across the board. It doesn't matter. And that's a wonderful thing. And also different colors. Hispanic, we have a Hispanic population, we have a Black population, we have a white population, we have old, we have young. So it really is the welcoming of all is what was important to me. But of course, being able to be amongst other gay people made a difference as well.
Elizabeth, how do you think that starts? Like you arrived in Provincetown, what, in 1979, was it?
No, I arrived in Provincetown in 74. I bought Gabriel's in 79. I came here as a graduate school student. And so I was commuting back and forth to Western Massachusetts, which has, as you know, a very large lesbian population. So I never really experienced prejudice. I kind of like segued into this world, not even thinking about it too much.
So back in 74, when you arrived in Provincetown, it still was that open, live and let live type
very,
of
very much
community
so.
And atmosphere.
So.
Does that go back into the history?
I think historically in their 20s, there was a huge art community here that kind of opened the door. And when you have a large art community, it attracts a lot of gay people because a lot of gay people are in the creative arts. So it kind of segued into that. I mean, in terms of well-known people, my goodness, we have Michael Cunningham, we had Hans Hoffman, Norman Mailer, Eugene O'Neill was here, Tennessee Williams was here, Edward Hopper, Robert Motherwell. I mean, these are all very, prominent artists in different areas, and that just, and then the local Portuguese community, which is, it started as a fishing community, said, well, these, let's open the doors, we can rent them rooms and make money, and we don't care, and so we don't care what their lifestyle is like. So that opened the door to a gay community here, and it grew over the years, larger and larger.
That's wonderful. I remember something, and you just brought it up, the Portuguese community. I remember there was a Portuguese bakery. I don't know if it's still there.
It's still there, and their fried dough is the best in the world, and that continues. It's probably been there
wonderful.
For God knows how long, since before
wonderful.
Water.
Wonderful.
And we still have so a many... very good, we still have a Portuguese community. We still have a strong Portuguese community. They're kind of the backbone of the town is the Portuguese community that's here.
Yeah, it's now I'm just like thinking about all the restaurants and stuff like that. It's getting me hungry. I can go for Portuguese bread right now. That would be very good. So you would say every place in Provincetown is welcoming. I've been there and I know that that's the only place that I can remember being at, except for maybe Wilton Manors. Even so, I feel the most myself in Provincetown. I could walk down the street holding my husband's hand and not have to flinch. And not even think about what anybody's going to say or do or anything. I just feel it's just such a different atmosphere and so comfortable. Other places, they may be gay friendly and everything, and I might feel comfortable, but I don't know what it is. It's something in Provincetown. It's just like that whole community type thing just gets me, it just makes me feel good.
I would be very hard pressed to try to find anywhere in Provincetown where you'd be uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. There's like no place. So are there gay bars? Well, there are gay bars, but they're kind of everywhere. They're kind of bars everywhere, right?
I don't think there's any un-gay bars.
Right. Okay. That's a good thing. Because I don't know, a lot of people bring up the fact in different places, we don't have gay bars because everything is integrated and nobody cares. But then again, in the back of my mind, I feel more comfortable myself in a gay bar than a straight bar because, I don't know, it's just that comfort feeling.
I would say that, if I was to say there's a differentiation between bars in town, there's some bars that attract more men. And there's some bars in town that are mixed. And let's say like the surf club. I mean, the bar at the surf club is probably attracting a lot more fishermen. But it doesn't matter.
Right. So is it easy to meet others if you live in Provincetown? I mean, I know it's a very big tourist destination. But as far as making friends that actually live there? Is it easy making friends in the gay community?
Okay, well, here I'm going to give a couple of hints. If you have a dog and you're in Provincetown, you immediately make about 3,000 friends. If you have a cute little dog and you walk down Commercial Street, you'll have 2,000 friends. So that's probably the number one way to make friends in Provincetown. But we have so many groups here. The 12-step program is very strong. The art community, the filmmakers, the film society. We have bird watchers. We have fishermen. We have the Chamber of Commerce. We have the Provincetown Business Guild, which is a gay-oriented business guild. There's the Masons. There's a lot of groups. There's the soup kitchen. And people go to the soup kitchen that don't really need to go to the soup kitchen. They make a huge donation, but they hang out there because it's a way to meet others. We also have a very strong senior center where you can go and play ping pong or read a book or discuss politics. So there's many ways to engage in the community that are available, especially for a small town.
And the dog story was definitely true, because one of the first times I've been to Provincetown, we were walking down the street and we saw the most, the most cutest Shetland sheepdog, which we call Shelties. And my husband and I, we see this guy with a Sheltie and we just fell in love with this dog. We stayed there, petted it probably for a half an hour, and then we wound up getting a Sheltie. And now we have Shelties all the time. So Provincetown made a little mark there as well. So tell us about the local economy. Can you provide some examples of housing costs, renting versus owning, your electric bills, water bills, gas, taxes, stuff like that?
Well, with a preface that Provincetown is the number one visitor destination on Cape Cod, many people want to move here, and many people have made the effort to move here. As a result of that, and this is probably the biggest challenge of Provincetown, is the expense. Everything is expensive here. Rents are expensive. Purchasing property is expensive. Having been here as long as I have, I always urge people, if you can purchase something, go for it, because as a renter, you never know if your place is going to be sold and because somebody wants to condo it and, you know, make a large profit, which they will. So yes, I would say, you know, the average price of property at this point is about $1 million.
Wow. Yeah.
So it is very expensive. Unfortunately, if I hadn't moved here when I did, I would not be able to live here right now.
Yeah, I hear you. So, well, as they say, you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
So how about examples of electric bills, water bills, utilities, stuff like that? Is that high compared to everywhere else, or is it kind of average?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So,
you know, we're at the very end. So everything has to be transported from elsewhere all the way to the tip of Cape Cod. So food is more expensive. Electric is more expensive. A lot of people are looking into solar panels. Water is pumped in from Truro. We have a sewer system that, you know, we have to all be paying for. And we also have the burden of a huge number of visitors in the summer that we have to accommodate. So we need a larger police force than we probably would need normally, just to accommodate visitors. Not to say we have much crime, because we don't, but just navigating through all of that. There's nothing that I can think of that is less expensive.
Okay.
Seafood. Seafood might be a little less expensive because you can get it locally, but haven't compared prices.
Okay. So tell us about Provincetown's arts and culture scene. I'm not going to ask if they have one, because I know they have one. Tell us a little bit about that and provide some examples if you can.
We have a very high educational level in our population here. And that, again, has given birth to a wonderful arts and culture scene, especially given the size of our community. And as I said, you know, previously we've had very well-known people live here. The arts are very strong. We have a whole gallery section in town. Friday nights, this is another way to meet others. every Friday night, traditionally, you know, all the galleries are open. Oftentimes the artists are there, you know, with their work at the galleries. There's wine and cheese, and it's kind of a big open, you know, welcoming an opening, you know, pretty much every Friday night in the summertime. We have music at the beach at Herring Cove, which is fabulous. There's theater in town. There's a movie theater. We have the film festival that happens here. We also have these weekly theme weeks. So there's Bear Week for the Bears. So there's Circuit Boy Week, which is over 4th of July. There's the Portuguese Festival. There's Carnival. So we have a plethora of events and just a ton of arts, which is great.
I love your theme weeks. I've been to Bear Week more than once. And to me, it's one of the most friendliest weeks that I've been there. It's just, everyone is just so nice and comes together, and it's just a great time.
Well, I have to say, as an innkeeper, we love the Bears, but we have to double up on our food because we serve breakfast at Gabriel's. And we always say, oh, it's Bear Week. Get double of everything.
Yep, because those bears are hungry.
They are. They're hungry bears.
Yep. Yes, I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's just something that you kind of like go there and you just feel, you know, it's just so great and welcoming and fun. So tell us about the restaurant scene. I'm sure pretty much everybody's a foodie that comes to Provincetown because there's so many choices of good, good restaurants. So tell us a little bit about the restaurant scene.
Well, I would say we have great restaurants. There's certainly an emphasis on seafood, as we're, you know, we are originally a fishing community. And it's, you know, when you order fish in a restaurant in Provincetown, it's local, which is wonderful. And we've also had pretty incredible chefs here that have come through our doors. Anthony Bourdain is probably one of the most well-known. He worked here for many years. There's also, it had jotted down a couple of other names, was Michelle Ragusis, Barbara Lynch, Tiffany Faison. We also have something called the Taste of Provincetown, which is an annual fundraiser where the restaurants come out and they do the top of the line of what they have to offer. And that's a fun, you know, many people are donors in Provincetown and many people are volunteers in Provincetown, and money is raised for so many different things. So I think our restaurants are really over the top. Would I say 5 stars? I'm not sure how that rating goes because I'm not a foodie myself, but we have certainly some excellent choices for people that come here. And you've got some wonderful hole in the walls where you can go and you can get, you know, some fried dough or Portuguese soup or, you know, a breakfast sandwich to go, you know, so it's the whole range of food.
Every time I go to a Provincetown, I get fat. Because to me, the food is great. And, you know, you're walking down the street and you stop somewhere, even for lunch. Do they still have Bayside Betty's?
Betsy's, yes.
Betsy's.
And there's Liz's Cafe, which is wonderful. There's the Inn at the Muse has been there for a long time. The Lobster Pot.
I've been to the
Nappy's restaurant.
Yeah. It's such a great food scene.
We have a place called Chach, which is great for breakfast. You know, we have a lot of really good restaurants. The Red Inn is beautiful. A lot of weddings are held there.
Been there too. That's still really good food.
Another one probably from your time when you were here is Front Street, which is really very, very good.
Yes. Yes. It brings back great memories, Elizabeth.
Italian restaurants. We have Mistralini. We have Ciro and Sal's.
Yeah.
Ciro and Sal's has been there forever.
That's why I get fat when I go there because there's no stopping. You know, you look forward to a nice dinner somewhere and everything is walkable. So Provincetown is a place you don't bring your car. Well, or you just leave it somewhere and you just walk everywhere. Tell us about that and tell us a little bit, is there a traffic issue coming in and out? Or
when people come here, I encourage them to take public transportation. Coming over on the ferry is beautiful. Oftentimes you can see whales on your way here, which is really kind of neat. We have the humpbacks and the right whales between here and Boston. Also, as you said, when you get to town, And you can also fly here. And if you land at the Provincetown Airport, getting to town is 5 minutes. It's nothing. I mean, you know, it's 4 miles away. So that's another way to get here. And as you were saying, once you're here, a bike gets you everywhere. The town is only 1 mile long. And it's a big biking community. And a lot of people now are also getting the electric cars and the electric bikes. So they get it around even easier. I think having a car in Provincetown is sort of a pain in the neck. The only reason one would want to bring a car is if you're going to explore the rest of Cape Cod. Like if you want to go from here to Wellfleet or Truro or, you know, go to Martha's Vineyard, you know, if you're doing a whole circuit. But if you're coming just to be in Provincetown, you don't need a car.
Right. Yeah, the only times we actually took our cars because we lived on the East Coast in the New York City area. So we just drove to Provincetown. And once we got there, we left the car and never used it again.
Yeah, and during the summer months, there's also direct flights from Westchester. They started doing that.
So oh, that's good
if you're
know.
A New Yorker, you
that's
can
where I used to. There. That's where I used to live.
Right.
So, yeah, and we used to rent bikes. And I remember biking and walking from the, I guess, the east to the west. You know, just biking all around. And it was just so much fun. It's like paradise to me. Living there and, you know, at least in the summer months and the spring, it was just absolutely gorgeous.
And let's not forget, we have the Cape Cod National Seashore, which has miles and miles of beautiful bike trails. So you can bike from, you know, from here to Orleans, go on and off the bike trails. You can go all through the dunes by bike. And there's 3 or 4 bike rental places in Provincetown. So it's not a requirement to come with a bike. You can rent bikes while you're here. But our Cape Cod National Seashore is 90% of the land around Provincetown. So it's all unspoiled and beautiful for hiking, walking, and biking.
I remember we biked also to the beach. So I forgot the name of the beach.
Herring Cove, Race Point.
Race Point, I think, if that's possible to bike to. I think we did. And also, I remember people said, oh, you got to check out the dunes. So we're like, okay. And we got lost in there. So we were walking around and we were like, uh-oh, okay. How do we get out? But we found our way out. But it was really a fun time. I enjoyed that very much, just hiking around the dunes. So
they're certainly massive. They're massive, yes. And they go on for miles. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's another world out there. It's like you're on the moon.
Yeah, it's totally different. You just lose, you know, conception of where you are. You're just like out there somewhere. So tell us about, is there any crime to speak of?
Here and there, very, very little. I would say it's almost non-existent. I would say, what kind of crime do we have in Provincetown? It's oftentimes, sadly, domestic arguments. There is some drug abuse in Provincetown, but we have very, very, very little crime. I mean, you know, it's drunk and disorderly, that kind of stuff.
So if you live there and you needed to walk your dog at like 2 a.m, you wouldn't have an issue. You wouldn't think twice, right?
If I was walking my dog at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden I tripped and fell, there'd probably be 3 or 4 people that come up and say, are you okay? Can I help you?
Well, that's a good thing.
It's the opposite.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Unlike other places that I've been to, my God, I fell down a flight of stairs in the middle of Grand Central going to the subway to work. Do you think one person asked if they could help me and they just stepped over me?
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it happens. So what about the healthcare? I understand Provincetown, I don't know if they have their own hospital. Tell us about what happens if you need an emergency surgery or you need to go to the doctor. tell us about the healthcare system within Provincetown.
We certainly are nowhere near what you would experience in a city because we are a small town. We do have a local healthcare center. So if there's an emergency going on, that's again, 5 minutes away. But usually if it's something serious, you are shipped off to Hyannis or to Boston. We do have a rescue squad here, and the normal drive from here to Hyannis is about an hour. If you get picked up by the rescue squad, I think they can make it in about a half an hour. But that's about the closest that you can get. People have also been medevaced out of here, for super, life-threatening illness. But our healthcare system, unfortunately, nationally, is in trouble. And we are also experiencing the trouble. Like, I wanted a wellness check, my annual wellness check with my primary care physician, and I have to wait 6 months. That's, it's tough.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Would you think it would be different if you lived in a nearby larger city?
Well, in a larger city, you have hospitals. We don't have a hospital in Provincetown. So that would be the big difference.
So
we're too small to support a hospital here. So that's why we just have a health center.
And how far is the hospital?
And it's Hyannis. So by rescue squad, a half an hour. Normal driving is an hour.
Yeah, that could be an issue, though. Yeah,
especially with our population is aging. Our population is aging in Provincetown. It is a big issue, but I'm not sure how it could be solved.
Is there any talk about building your own hospital? Is it, are there enough people to do that?
No.
So it doesn't warrant a hospital?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's... Unfortunately, our healthcare system is not great to start with. And then if you're in a small town, that makes it a little bit, it's more difficult for people to get good healthcare. Okay. Tell us about Gabriel's. I want to know more. I want you to tell the world how great of a place this is. And tell us a little bit about the history. And you have the stage.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to toot my own horn too much, but as we had said earlier, we've been here, for 48 years, a long time. We're probably one of the oldest singularly owned inns in Provincetown by, one person. Also, I'm here with my wife. So the two of us own it together. And we have four buildings. We have 22 luxury units. They range from, a modest little, bedroom all the way up to one bedroom apartments. We serve breakfast in the summer, which people love because there's camaraderie and, it's a really enjoyable, sociable time. But the nice thing about Gabriel's is if you want to be completely private, many of our rooms have their own entrance from the outside. So you don't have to walk down a hallway. You go up a stairs or down a walkway, you open a door, you're in your unit, so you can be completely private. Or if you don't want to be completely private, you want to say hi to other people. We have a great room. We have a beautiful garden area, two outdoor fireplaces. So it's a wonderful place to gather in the evening. And one of the biggest things about Gabriel's that's super positive is that we're right in the middle of town, but you don't realize it because we're set back. We are on Bradford Street and we're surrounded by a park on two sides. So we have the Pilgrim Monument Park behind us, which is all green. And then we have the Bas-Relief Park to one side, again, another green area. So we feel, sort of isolated in this little bubble. But then you walk a block and you're at a restaurant or you're at the movie theater or you're at a club, you're at a shop. We're absolutely centrally located, which is really great. And we're very welcoming. Elizabeth and I really enjoy our guests. We've had now generations of guests. So the original guests that came here in the 70s had children, and then those children are now having children. And it's just wonderful, to see that progression.
That's great. I just felt so much at home, staying there. You guys, you were so hospitable, you and your wife, Elizabeth, and it just made us feel good. And everything about it, the location, it wasn't in the middle of everything where, you know, there was noise and people walking down the streets. It was quiet. And then you're, like you said, you walk a block and you have everything. And it's just a wonderful place. I remember staying at a couple of units. I think one of them was, is there an upstairs?
There is an upstairs, a couple of upstairs.
So this was like a deluxe unit upstairs with, I don't know, everything was just, I think it had washer and dryer and everything that you would ever want.
It could have been the Julia Child room or the Ariel penthouse. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
which one it was.
But it was,
you know, I guess my feeling about it is that we're giving, if somebody even stays here for a night or for a week, this is their home for that time. And this is our home. So they are coming into our home and we want them to feel welcomed. And that's really important to us, that people feel really comfortable and at home here. And we also are dog and children friendly. So a lot of people come with their dogs. There's rules about that. Their dogs have to be well behaved. And we've had a few issues with barking, but usually we can, you know, figure out solutions to that with the guest.
Yeah, we never, when we were there, we never had a problem as far as noise with dogs or anything. It was just so great. I remember going in for breakfast and everyone was so friendly and we were laughing and it was just, it's just a wonderful time. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, you know, you're very welcome.
For having us there as a guest. It was great. Loved it.
I enjoy giving guests insider knowledge. Like they go, where's the best place to walk in the dunes? And I can say, well, there's a place called Snail Road. You go across it, you go down a fire road. You know, it's not stuff that's really advertised, but I can certainly let people know about it.
Definitely helps. Absolutely. Because yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit also about your photography, if you may.
Well, I photograph a lot of things. And if I was to define specifically what do I photograph, I would say anything with a heartbeat. I love photographing wildlife. I've traveled frequently to other continents, recently been in Africa, and I also was in Cuba and Central America. I was in Costa Rica. So the wildlife draws me very, very strongly. And I also love street photography. I'm very drawn, and Provincetown's a fantastic place for street photography. So I do enjoy portraiture, photographing people. And my work is on my website. If you look up elizabethbrook.com, that's where my work is. And I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. And I'm gearing up for two shows in 2024 that will be on both on Cape Cod. And I'm looking to publish probably, this will be my second book. So I'm putting that together at the moment. So working very hard on it. I mean, after being an innkeeper for so many years, I didn't really have time for my photography because I had initially started as a photographer getting out of graduate school. And I was a photographer here in town for about 10 years. Then I couldn't keep up with both professions. So I dropped it and started very seriously getting involved in photography about 4 years ago. And I also enjoy mentoring people with, you know, people starting out and having an interest in photography. Can you give me some help? I'm thrilled to help out. I shoot Canon and I also shoot Leica, and I'm pretty comfortable with both. I'm mentoring a fifth grader right now, and there's a woman that's retiring and moving to the Cape that's looking forward to working with me. So I really enjoy being in a relationship and camaraderie with other photographers, because why not help each other? I mean,
right.
Once you learn something, why not pass it on? That's my philosophy.
I saw some of your work. I don't know. I think it was on your website or maybe one of the files you sent, but it was wonderful. I mean, I saw some black and white photos of fishermen, seamen, and on a boat. And it was just, I loved it. It was just, I was like, wow.
Thank you. I just completed a series of monochrome images from Cuba, and that was mostly in Havana. And that was a really great project. So that's on my website at the moment.
That's great. You're able to, you know, go travel to different places and shoot photos of all of these places. Very, very. Yeah, that's great. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
That's a big accomplishment. You're doing great. And yeah, I'd like to see some more. So very interested in that. So Elizabeth, what do you wish that you that were in Provincetown that you don't have that you might have had elsewhere? Is there anything that you miss?
Yes, there's three things that I can point out to you. One, number one, I wish we had better health care locally. Number two, that we would have affordable housing here for the population, which we don't have. That's a huge, huge issue in Provincetown. And I personally would love to have more photographers that lived here. I would love to be part of a photography group. And I find a lack of that, unfortunately. I mean, I probably know five or six in town, but I'd love to see 20 or 30, you know, and possibly an organization of photographers.
Start one.
Well, if I have time, I'm busy taking pictures and publishing. Okay. So, yeah, you know, that takes organization. And I've done that a lot in my life. So I hesitate to take another thing on right now with other priorities out front. But if somebody else did it, I would love to be a part of that.
Totally understand. Yep. Yeah. You have to weigh the priorities and the things that you do, because sometimes we just do too much and we can't fit everything in, but okay. So, and you would say those are also the cons of living in Provincetown as well?
Yes.
Okay. So in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Provincetown?
I would certainly advise arriving secure financially, because this is a very hard town to make a living in, especially considering what the expenses are. And having more than one source of income is certainly helpful. Buy your home, don't rent. Get involved with the community. The volunteer opportunities here are phenomenal, and really on any level, if you're interested in animals, you're interested in art, if you're interested in people who have compromised health systems, if you're interested in Mahjong, just get involved with others, because it can get quiet here in the wintertime. And I think it's important to stay out there. So volunteering is really important, and bring your skills. I'd love to see, you know, anybody coming here with skills that they can share with others. So that's my advice.
Excellent.
And ask me questions if you want to move here. I'm open to talking to people.
And where can we find you on social media?
If you go to Elizabeth Brook, or look up Elizabeth Gabriel Brook on Facebook, I'm also on Instagram, and you can also go to www.gabriels.com. So the website for the hotel.
Great. And they could also contact me, and I can put them in contact with you.
Absolutely. So, open. I think if you Google me, I think I come up also.
I think so too. You're pretty popular. So, okay. And for those out there also that are interested in their community, I would love to hear from you as well. So, and have you as a guest on our podcast. We're always looking for people from different places all over the world. So that's great. And now that you put Provincetown back into my mind, it seems like I want to go there for a vacation. So that's going to be on the bucket list, as amongst my other buckets, my other list.
Wonderful. So,
yeah.
Well, so we would be great to see you. And Mark, you've done such a great job with your podcast. Thank you for this. Thank you for this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for being a guest and talking to us. It was definitely something that I'm going to remember, you know, going forward, because you guys made an impression on my life. So thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a good day, Elizabeth.
Thank you. And you too, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.